Thanks, Nathan, for the reading. Hi, everyone. My name is Pastor Tom. I'm one of the pastors in Grace Point, and especially for Billwood. If you're new or visiting, just like to welcome you guys. There are a couple of newcomers, so I'm glad you guys are able to be here. Hopefully, the regulars make you feel welcome, but also maybe even take you for dinner later. Before I start on the sermon, let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, as we come to you with our humble hearts, I pray we listen. Listen to your words. It's so powerful. Also encouraging us and also rebuke us. I pray that as we listen, that will shape our hearts and our hands. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Looking at COVID-19, it was a big obstacle that the world had to face and even facing it right now, today. Not just the leaders of the world, but families have their own obstacles to deal with. Companies has obstacles in managing staff safety. Church has obstacles in meeting up, and even missionaries have obstacles as they are stuck in Australia. I recently caught up with Sharon Law, Gus, his nickname, one of the missionaries that Grace Point partners with. Or, I recently been told, she has a new nickname called Japan, like Japan but with a SH, so Japan, which one of the community groups he gave her. She's a missionary wanting to go back to Japan. In fact, OMF had given her the green light to go. She has applied for her visa, and she's ready to go. And she was actually meant to go last month in May. But her obstacle right now is not knowing what she is meant to do as she's stuck in Australia. And making it worse, no one knows when the border is going to open. But with these obstacles, she also found new opportunities. Like firstly, there were so many Japanese in Sydney that she can talk to about God, evangelize to them, but also encourage them in their faith. Secondly, she can Zoom with people who went back to Japan and still able to connect with them. And thirdly, she was able to help the agency, going around to churches, to community groups, and talk about mission. Sometimes when we face obstacles like in life, we need to remember there's always opportunities around the corner. Because the Lord is ahead of us and is in control. And this is today's passage. Paul, the apostles, and Christians were facing many obstacles, but they found opportunities as the Lord was with them. Before I continue with today's passage, let me give you a glimpse of what Paul and the apostles were seeing during the ancient times, in those times. Today we read that Paul traveled from Athens to Corinth, with both cities in Greece today. And the cities are about 85 k's apart and roughly a 3-day trip. So it's a pretty long trip because they had no planes then. But when Paul approached to the city of Corinth, he will see people training in marketplace. There's large theaters and, of course, many temples of different gods. As the city was alive, a wealthy city in that period of time, lots of Roman citizens traveled to Corinth, as many retired Roman soldiers can be seen in the city. If some big news happened in the Roman capital, the first city outside Rome we'll find out is Corinth. The Greek city of Corinth was well connected with Rome. There's a saying for it. If the city of Rome has sneezed, Corinth will catch a cold. give you some basic geography of 101. So hopefully you get a better understanding of the city, the culture in the Gentile worlds of that time. But it's here where we read the Apostle Paul met a couple, Aquila and Priscilla, Jewish Christians who were basically kicked out of Rome due to new rules from the empire requiring all Jews to leave the city of Rome. As hard it was for them to pack and move to Corinth, Aquila and Priscilla had obstacles, had become an opportunity, as they had work in Corinth and even a place to live, as Paul was able to stay with them in verse 3. We also read Paul partners with them as a tent maker or a leather maker. And because of that, in verse 4, we hear what Paul did. If he was not tent making, Paul went to the synagogue every Sabbath to reason, debate, and even try to convince the Jews and the Gentiles. The Greeks. The Greeks were Gentiles who were God-fearers and devoted themselves to the synagogue. Although there were lots of Gentiles, Paul basically continued to preach and teach the good news of Jesus at Corinth in the synagogue. And then in the next scene, we read that Silas and Timothy had joined Paul, who came from Macedonia. Then in verse 5, it says, Paul spent all the time and energy preaching. Basically, he stopped working as a tent maker. And why did he stop as a tent maker? Why did he stop? As a tent maker, was he able to make a lot of money? I don't think so. Paul had a fight with the couple, Aquila and Priscilla, and left. But we know that's not the case. Because the couple actually traveled with Paul to Ephesus later on this chapter. So they didn't have a fight. It's Silas and Timothy. It's Silas and Timothy, which had joined Paul from Macedonia with some church offering. And if we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 8 to 9, Paul wrote that it was the Macedonian brothers and sisters who supplied his needs. That Paul was able to afford to go full time to preach the word of God. In these couple of verses, we can see a little sandwich about the gospel partnership here. Gospel partnership. Paul, as a missionary to the city of Corinth, was able to focus on gospel ministry as a full-timer. As the Macedonian church supported him, not just in prayer, but also supported him, his needs, his clothes, his food, and even money. So in verse 1 to 5, we're able to read the different gospel partnerships. Some are just normal Christians, people who are willing to open their places, share a meal, and let people stay with them. Just like Aquila and Priscilla. Some worked part-time and did gospel ministry on the other days, like Paul himself. And furthermore, some people are willing to give to the church for its ministry and partner with other gospel workers. Just like the Macedonian churches was able to give to Paul. And today we see the importance of partnership with gospel workers and the church. Yes, some gospel workers are called to be teachers, preachers, and protectors of God's people. But some are missionaries going to different cities and countries. Some are lay people giving to serve God's church and his working. And some are great hosts and welcoming people into their houses or house. All I'm just saying, at the end, we all are partners in the gospel work. We've got music players, singers, community group leaders, even the dinner team, serving leaders, and even myself. We are all gospel workers working for the same God. We are all equal and have different important roles to play for God's kingdom. We are called to partner in the gospel, and we must do it well so non-Christians can see God's glory. And if we call ourselves God's sheep, we all should be serious about gospel partnership as we are serving each other and God's people. And as we continue in verse 6, we read Paul reaches out to the Jewish community. But we read it becomes so intense that ministry in the synagogue was making it impossible to preach the good news. In fact, from Paul's comment, he has done what he can. He was faithful to them, pleading to them about Jesus, and still the Jews wouldn't listen. So in verse 6, Paul says, he's innocent, he's tried his best, and now he has nothing to do with them, as he was focusing on the Gentiles now, who are willing to listen to the message. And T, we can see three conversions in verse 7 and 8. The first conversion is when Paul went to the house of Titus Justus. His name suggests he was a Roman citizen. Titus was a Gothia. He most likely heard Paul preach and teach in the synagogue and came to faith. Titus opened his house, which was close to the synagogue. And Titus' action was like a kick in the gut for the synagogue leaders, as people now have a choice to listen to Paul's message of Jesus. It's like a person who once worked at Red Roosters and got kicked out, and now decided to open KFC opposite of Red Roosters. Then the second conversion was Crispus, a synagogue leader. In fact, he was someone up high, the president of the synagogue in the Jewish community, so probably a treasurer or does the finance. But it wasn't just Crispus who believed in Jesus. It was his family members, any relatives and slaves who belonged to his household that were converted to the faith as well. It's like KFC. We just opened up, and now the manager from Red Roosters joined them. Because KFC now sells hot and spicy. Do you guys know that? No? Yes? It's showing my age, right? So it's like, it's basically like Wicked Wings, all right? So KFC has now selling Wicked Wings. The third conversion is in verse 8b. Many Corinthians, Jews, Greeks, and Romans who heard Paul preach the good news of Jesus also believed and was baptized. The gospel was growing as people were converted. So it seems now KFC wasn't just taking over Red Rooster's customers, but the people of the town wanted to have a taste of the Wicked Wings. In this verse, once again, we see the impossible become possible. It started with the obstacles in verse 6. But in verse 7 and 8, many people were converted by the power of the gospel. We see the Spirit leads the way for his people. Humanity thinks they can stop God's message. But we just read, God makes it happen, and God makes the gospel continue. Now the first scene is an interesting one. We can read this in verse 9 to 11. As people were being converted to the Lord, once again, we read, the opposition rose once again, another obstacle. The Jewish community who kicked out Paul saw the gospel growing. They saw the conversion of the Jews why Crispus and the Gentiles, why Titus. The Jewish community started to have resentment and bitterness towards the gospel that Paul was preaching. But what do we read? That Paul was given a commission, a vision, which in this case was from the risen Lord Jesus. The commission was to undertake a God-given task with assurance from God. And we need to realize this is a pattern of the book of Acts. For example, in Acts chapter 5, verse 19 to 21, the apostles were put in jail. And one night, an angel of the Lord came and opened the doors in the jail. And the apostles were told to stand in the temple of the courtyard and preach the message of Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 9, verse 10 to 17, it's here that the Lord called out to Ananias in a vision to look for Saul, who is Paul, to heal his eyes. As Paul is a changed man. As Paul is going to go to the Gentiles and the Jews and spread the gospel. And we also see this in Acts chapter 16, verse 6 to 10. In this chapter, Paul had a vision of a Macedonian man standing and begging him to come to the city. Once Paul had seen the vision, he headed towards Macedonia, where he preached and set up many churches. And today we just read, there were the ones who supported Paul in verse 5 and 8. And later on in the book of Acts, other visions appear in chapter 23 and 27. So in this vision, the Lord told Paul, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And then gives a commission that no one will attack you and harm you. In verse 12 and 17, the Lord assures Paul of his presence and protection. He says, keep on speaking. Don't be silent. I have many more people in the city to hear the gospel. And we definitely can see that the work of the Spirit, as Titus and Crispus were converted. But still, many God-fearers in the city of Corinth needed to hear the gospel. And this time for Paul, this isn't going to be a quick mission and then escape to another city. In verse 11, Paul stayed in the city for 1.5 years doing ministry, preaching, and teaching the word of God. In verse 12 and 13, once again, we see another obstacle. The Jews bring Paul before the proconsul and charge him persuading the people to worship God in a way contrary to the law. We need to understand this charge the Jews were trying to make was not regarding the Messianic law or the Jewish law. It was relating to the Roman law. So Paul was accused of violating the laws of the Roman Empire, which of course is a no-no. But even before Paul opens his mouth, Gallio, the proconsul of the judge, says he would not intervene as it's not a Roman matter, but a matter of Christians and Jews. This might have happened, as we already heard, the edict from the Empire of Rome in verse 2, the kicking out of the Jews. So he's just pushing that. But Gallio did not favor the Jewish community, as his responsibility was to govern the province of Corinth as a Roman city. He was not concerned about the Jewish laws and the customs. He was just concerned about the Roman law. But as we read about this the Jewish conviction to Paul, we need to understand it was a big deal. It was a big deal. And let me explain it. First of all, the Christian Jews was trying to convict Paul and the Christian community. They wanted a legal conviction of Paul and the clampdown of the new group of Jewish and Gentiles who are now followers of Jesus. They wanted to be an illegal association, an illegal of communities to follow Jesus Christ. Because they wanted the governor to see that Paul and his groups are criminals, a cult that violates the Roman laws. But what they got instead was an official acknowledgement by the Roman government that Paul and the new followers of Jesus was a group within Judaism, which means there's no legal action could be taken. Both groups have the same and equal rights. Basically, to be a Christian was not a criminal offense anymore. In the eyes of the Roman laws, it meant Paul and the followers were free to preach the message, and they were not breaking any Roman laws. So in the end, the conviction secured Paul and the Christians a better outcome. A better outcome. A huge obstacle was at the corner for Paul and the followers of Christ, but now it became a better opportunity, free to preach the message of Jesus. Let me tell you a story. A friend of mine who had to stop work for a while as he had to fight off cancer. And he was successful in fighting the cancer, but now in his old age, returning to work wasn't possible, nor was it easy to find. He could retire, but that's not like him. He's always on the run, doing something. So what does a retired businessman, a retired ex-minister do? Traveling was getting hard, especially traveling long distance. But he still had a passion of evangelism and preaching the gospel. So what does he do? So he decided to open his house and convert it into a bed and breakfast, B&B, which also offers service like cooking, washing, and transportation. And his mission was to get to know the guests who comes from around the world and stay with them and his family. It's during the time he reaches out to the guests. If it's an opportunity comes, he'll preach the gospel to them. He was retired, getting old. It seemed like an obstacle, but he made it into an opportunity as people came to him. And he told me this: God always opens doors if you seek him first in your life. God will always open doors if you seek him in your life. And even in my old age, I'm still preaching the gospel. But now they come to me and not me going out. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? An obstacle has turned to an opportunity. Once again, we read Paul and his followers face an obstacle. But in the end, it's not an obstacle anymore. And in fact, by Roman law, they are free to speak about Jesus in the city of Corinth. And this is a major win for the gospel and God's people. So as Paul was assured by the law on his mission, he also have this assurance from God. And this assurance is not that we won't be persecuted. Okay, this assurance is not that we won't be persecuted, mocked, and even laughed at. We should be expecting that as Christians, because the world doesn't see what we see and has a different value and belief as us. But it's okay. It's okay. Because our assurance is not from this world. Our assurance is from Christ and what he has done for us on the cross, dying for our rebellious heart against God, which is called sin. So if you humbly admit your sins to God, God will forgive you and cleanse you from all your sins, guilt, and shame. And this means we have a relationship with God. And Jesus assured us from John chapter 6, verse 37, that whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. I will never cast out. We need to remember our salvation is sure, because Christ's sacrifice of himself on the cross is greater than any sin. So let's be assured and be secure of the promise from God. As we look at ourselves and the city we live in, it seems there's a lot of obstacles against the gospel. Example of obstacles are when workplace wants people to be pro-LGBTQ, or some schools don't want scripture classes at school to be taught anymore. I just gave you a few examples, but I bet you're able to think more examples as a worker, as a uni student. But we need to remember who is in front of us. Not behind us, in front of us. Because God is always in front of us. Like all the stories we heard in the Old Testament, Joseph was kicked out by his brothers, but God had already planned great things for him. In fact, he became second in charge of Egypt, behind Pharaoh. It's the same story for Ruth and even Daniel himself. And today we just read God was in front of Paul, who did not have to say anything. He did not have to open his mouth. 100 years ago, the door closed in some countries, especially in East Asia, as obstacle arose. But that didn't stop house church grow, gospel being preached. In fact, there was many more Christians coming up. In fact, it grew because God was leading the way. Now, we even see the obstacles still rises for us. But don't forget, God is ahead of us and is in control. Today, we also heard the story from Sharon, a Shaipan, the obstacles she was facing and still facing. We also heard the opportunities that God had given her. So let's be encouraged by that. Let's be encouraged by that. As we continue to preach the gospel, let the obstacles be an opportunity to glorify God in your workplace, in your family, and among friends for the kingdom of God. Let's pray. We thank you for your Son who died for us on the cross, who rose and was ascended to heaven. This is our hope and assurance that we have in you. And we are reminded that we are not alone, as you are always ahead of us for your kingdoms. So let's be encouraged as we step out in the world. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.